Third and 10 for the Dolphins from their own 48-yard line. And now Henny turns and calls a timeout. You know, I got to tell you, this Miami offense looks very, very confused.
They certainly do.
Nobody's on the same page here.
Okay.
Terrific regular season for the New England Patriots, and a tough one, especially down the stretch for the Miami Dolphins. The Patriots are going to win it 38-7. Tony Sparano will go back home, and the Dolphins will try to figure out their future.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the
Welcome back, everyone. 8:05 here on Sports Radio 560 WQM. Dolphins lose 38-7 to the Patriots. End up 7-9, lose their last three, 1-7 at home. And I don't know what you want to call that effort yesterday. We'll get right into it with our man Dan Marino. Dan, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Joe. Good morning, buddy. I'm doing okay. I'm got in late. You know, I actually tried to call you.
I missed. I didn't know what time you got. I didn't. I must have been asleep because I was. I got to bed about 1 o'clock. So I beat you to the punch.
You worked last night too, right?
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you, as I text you after the game, did you see it? What was your thoughts on whatever that was, effort or lack of effort or whatever took place?
You don't want to say the team quit because there's a lot of guys that are professionals there that work really hard at what they're doing and they love the game. But it seemed like the Patriots got up a little bit, that the lack of effort kind of went away some. Yeah, there's no doubt.
And it wasn't...
I watched most of the game, but I was watching other games. So, you know, when they started getting beat up pretty good, I kind of focused on some other things. But
well, they got outplayed in every phase. Don't worry. They got beat on special teams.
You're looking at a team that where you kind of want to be is the New England Patriots, how they play at home and they win and they got, you know, and they're scoring over 30 a game and all the good things, they don't turn the ball over. That's where you want to be. And then the Dolphins kind of go in the other direction, which is not good. It's not good at all.
Well, yesterday, I guess the only surprise was they just said, hey, Chad, interception, not playing well, get sacked early in the game. We're going to put Tyler Thigpen in. We're just going to rotate you guys since this is the last game of the year. What'd you think of that?
Well, you kind of get a handle on Thigpen and a little bit of what he's doing. He played a little bit earlier in the year. I don't see a problem with it at all. I mean, coach has, been there's a lot of pressure on them to win, and they're trying to take a look at what's going on. There's no problem with that.
I want to ask you because you can get guess on how fans in South Florida are feeling. They want to blow this thing up after 3 years and aren't happy because the team did get worse. Team did not get better at the end of the year. For anybody to come in our business and say they played their best football, we'd look like complete fools. So I'm just curious, what do you do? If you're Stephen Ross, you're getting ready this week to have meetings with your general manager and your head coach. What's your take, and what would you want to ask those two guys? I'm just curious.
I'm not a big believer in just like changing just the sake of change, you know. But there's always that possibility to happen. And in the coaching profession, I mean, you know, the coach, everybody there knows that that's a possibility that could happen. I mean, what would I do is I think I'm not, you know, I'm not there every day, and Joe, you're not there every day. You know, we look at it kind of from the outside in, and we have our perspective on how the team performs on Sunday, which is the bottom line. I mean, that's the bottom line. But, you know, there's a lot of things that goes into that decision that, you know, we don't know about. So, I mean, it's tough to say one way or the other. I mean, it really is. But there's a possibility that there definitely is a possibility there could be a change, yeah.
I want you to hear the comments from Brandon Marshall after the game. As
you surprised me with all this stuff, right?
No, of course. But I want you to hear it. I didn't get to hear it till this morning. I wasn't there to hear it last night. Here's what he had to say.
It's been that way all year. It's a number of things, players, coaches. You know, we all got to be on the same page. We got to speak the same language when it comes to offense. Receivers and quarterbacks, we're on several different pages, and you can't have that. You know, everyone, like I said, got to speak the same language, starting with the coaches being on the same page, and then it you know, goes to the players. You know, we just didn't get it done this week, you know, this whole year.
One problem has been, I'll just break that down, has been he wants Chad Henne to throw him the ball even if he's covered. He wants, because he says he can make catches with people on him. Meanwhile, Chad Henne's saying, I'm being coached up to not force the ball. And he's trying to keep everybody happy in this situation. Meanwhile, he's having the kind of season that could actually get you cut. So what do you do?
Chad Henne?
Yeah, so what do you do in that situation, talking about Chad and Brandon on different pages all year, never got on the same page?
Well, there's, you know, some of that is, yes, some is communication, some is how you coach and what they're being taught. And you know, you don't just throw the ball up just to throw it up, to throw it to somebody for the sake of just throwing it to him because he can make a catch, and sometimes he doesn't. And there's you know, a way to go around, and there's other people on the field that can help him get open too. So if you start throwing the ball enough to another guy and you get completions and you get and you have a level of success, you know, in other areas, then that's going to open it up for Brandon Marshall also. But then as a coach and what you do and all you call your plays, there's ways of getting that guy in a situation where he's not going to be double covered all the time.
And
there's a lot of times that I don't think he is, you know, but I do agree. I could see his frustration because he can't make plays. There's no doubt he can make plays.
So you'd be throwing him the football no matter what. You find ways
to... No matter what. No, I wouldn't do that no matter what.
I guess I'm sitting here watching him on the side, and I see his frustration, Danny, and I played when Duke used to get frustrated and Mark Clayton used to get frustrated a little bit, and when they weren't getting footballs, listen, they wanted to get them and they wanted to make sure they were in the offense and the whole thing. But, I mean, I see him jumping up and down when the ball's not where it needs to be, and I see him frustrated when it's not thrown to him. I see him again
throw
a...
That's part of him being the kind of the player he's been for the past few years, where he's had a lot of balls, and it's understandable. I mean, as a quarterback, you know, I remember I'd get frustrated and throw my hands and point at people, and you know, and that happens. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. I would just say if I was around him as a teammate, that you know, that you got to just be patient and see where it goes. It's not going anywhere right now. It's over.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that you did a good job with, I think, is 2-minute drill. You used to huddle up with your guys before you went on the field on what you wanted to do. And second of all, you communicated no matter how mad you were. Didn't you make it a point to talk to your receivers to make sure everybody was on the same page on what you wanted to get done and what they liked?
Well, the communication from that standpoint with your players, and that's the biggest deal as a quarterback. I mean, you got to let them know what you're thinking. They gotta let you know what they're thinking, with some of the best things they feel they could do, and that's all part of it. That's just kind of being a quarterback 101.
You know,
first step.
You can't have a divorce between your quarterback and your wide receiver, which started a couple weeks ago with these two, and it just doesn't help you, and you can't expect it to be really good on Sunday if you're not communicating during the game and talking. And, of course, the last couple weeks, because of the tension, everybody's watching both of them on the sideline. They don't talk. I think it looked like my first marriage. It was terrible.
Did you talk a little bit, Joe?
No, there was no talking at all, my man.
Oh,
I was talking to you more than that. Hey, anyway, so we'll get more into it. There's just a lot of frustration, Danny.
I'm frustrated too, because you know I love the Dolphins. I want to see them win every game, and it's tough right now. But God, that was a hard one to watch. But all I could tell you is that where you want to be is where New England is, and we're not, you know, close to that right now.
No, that's not like we're a 2 or 3 player away from, oh, don't worry, we're right there. We can feel good about it, and we're right there with Brady and the whole group. You're right on the money. Now, I guess the other thing is that everybody wants to know is you sit a foot from from the sexiest guy right now out there that everybody's screaming for, Bill
Cowher. Huh? You call him sexy?
The sexy coach that everybody wants if you're in football.
He's not that. Okay.
He's not a sexy man, no. No, he's an ugly guy just to look at, but I'm talking about as far as a coach. So,
you know,
what's he doing? What's going on?
I would say there is a real possibility he could be a coach somewhere for sure. But then there's a real possibility he might not.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
I'm telling you that.
He's coming back. Where's he going? Let's run through some of these jobs here. See, I think you know a lot of stuff, and you're not telling me this morning. Let's go. Let's start looking at some of these jobs. Oakland's job looked like it's going to open. Could you see him in Oakland? No.
Are you kidding me?
No. Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati.
No.
No. How about Cleveland? Imagine he would never go back and coach.
Sure. No, I mean, coach. I don't know. I'm Joe. I'm not.
You're giving me some no's. We're getting somewhere.
Go ahead. Take him. You'll use this all week, right? Is this going to be a big deal? Use this all week. Go ahead. You want to go through a list? Go ahead.
I'm just.
Who else is?
Well, listen,
anybody get fired yet? That's the biggest thing besides Fox.
Today, Fox is definitely out of Carolina. And by the way, people are concerned with that because that's where the guy that sits next to you lives, up close to there. He's a short ride from
Raleigh
that stadium.
And Charlotte is not that close, but it's close.
So what's your take on that job?
I would say no.
Okay, good. We're getting somewhere with you. You're finally. See, I want people to know that Dan Marino is one of the great bonding wingmen of all time. He is. Whatever you get, you don't have to worry. My man's not telling anybody. Even Claire might not find out. All right, so here we go.
You only need to know what you need to know.
Exactly. Looks like Kubiak's going to be back at Houston. He's keeping that job.
I think that. And, you know,
Coughlin's going to stay in New York. That was a good job.
I mean, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, San Diego was a possibility out there, right?
They're keeping him. They decided Norv's in. Norv's not going anywhere. So Norv kept his job. Some of these owners just came right out and said, no. Stop it, media. My guy's not going anywhere.
You know, and that's what they should do. And that's like this week is, it's a big deal the next few days, whether, some teams react or they don't, because you got to move on and you go in a positive direction. If you're a team that had expectations, like Dallas. I mean, look at Dallas. I mean, their expectations were we're going to have a home Super Bowl, and
sure,
just totally the other direction. And I don't know if they're going to keep Jason Garrett. I like Jason. He was there at the Dolphins for a while, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of possibilities. But at the same time, I'm telling you, as I sit right next to him, I think he could be coaching. Is he going to coach? That's not 100%.
All right, listen, I'm not going to beat this up with you, but has he ever said during a break, hey, tell me more about that Dolphin job? Has he ever mentioned anything about, hey, what's your favorite restaurant close to Dolphin training camp or anything like that?
I already told him that. He knows that ahead of time, whether he's going to coach or not. He knows all that stuff. He knows all the spots.
Hey, I want to ask you about two stats that I can never remember on a football during a football season.
Go ahead. Let me hear them, baby.
25 touchdowns and 31 turnovers.
That's bad.
And that's total touchdowns for an offense and turnovers for an offense. Can you ever remember having more turnovers than touchdowns with passes and runs?
No. I mean, you'd have to look. You have to have someone look that up because that's actually very interesting to look at.
I don't think
I don't think that happens very often. I don't know to be honest with you, because that's something that never really has. It doesn't really enter your mind as someone that's doing media now, an ex-player, or when you were playing. But so someone's got to check that out.
Well, let me
get someone to check that
out. Yeah, I'm going to get somebody to check it out, but I just want to let you know that New England ended up with 57 touchdowns and 10 turnovers all season.
So that's a big, huge difference.
All right, and then let me throw another one that is shocking. The Miami Dolphins special teams gave up 5 touchdowns this year and had none. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, the one thing, it's hard to win if you're giving up touchdowns on special teams, just in general, statistically,
right.
And then if you're doing it on the road, and I mean, there's all kind of, there's people that live on that stuff, the stats.
Right.
They live off of the percentages of, on third down, what you're doing on, if you get the halftime lead, the halftime lead, you win like so many percentages at a time, you should win the game, all that stuff. And those two things, The special teams things is tough too, because you're giving up field position, you're giving up points. It's hard to overcome that stuff. Now, some people can't overcome it. If you have a team that can overcome those things, you have to have a quarterback that could do that also, like Brady's and Peyton Manning's and Brett Favre when he was really playing well, and they can overcome a special teams punt return or touchdown.
Right.
7 points is just one possession. Hey, let's do it, But we're not in that position right now.
You got that right. Hey, listen, we got to take a quick break. We got way behind, but I am pressing you
just
a little
keep
bit.
Keep going. Forget about the breaks.
Well, I'm just really frustrated today, and I hate Mondays. Probably a bad time to have you on because I'm pissed off when I see the team just play like this, and I watch it, and I see fans.
I know. No, listen, man. It was ugly. It's been ugly.
Ross has a chance to show us he cares by making a change. That's my last text message as they come in all morning here at Sports Radio 560.
Sometimes it's not always good to do that, but, sometimes you need to.
Okay. What would you do?
Joe, I'm not there to look at it. I'm not firing anybody right now.
All right. Well, we're going to see because you think Stephen Ross calls you about this?
Oh, geez, Joe. You got into that last week.
You think he just calls and says, hey, your man sitting next to you is interested in the job, Dan, I'm not going to ask you anything about the team, but what about the guy sitting next
to you? If he does, I'm not telling you, that's for sure.
I know. I'll be the last guy to find out.
Call me. Go get a coffee.
All right. Hold on a sec. We'll be right back with you. Don't disappear, man. I'll tell Claire to go find you in just a second here. We're going to take a quick break, but first.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at a girl. Sometimes you're crazy, then you wonder why.
Welcome back. 27. We're back with Dan Marino. We got a little long-winded in that first segment. Your buddy, Darius from Hootie and the Blowfish, he was on to something.
Good stuff, man. He's tearing up that country stuff now.
Yeah, well, he was on to something when he said, there's nothing I can do. I only want to be with you because the Dolphins make me cry, man.
Man, I make you cry yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, anyway, hey, I want to ask you real quickly, and we'll move on because we got a lot to get to in the National Football League. Chad Henne. Where is he? What can we do? Can we rehab him? Ends up with 19 interceptions. Didn't look like he's playing a lot of confidence. Got benched earlier in the year.
Right now, I would say the confidence level is definitely down because anytime you start, guys in and out, switching quarterbacks, they may not, believing in himself too. So, that's the one thing. That's where it's going to start. His confidence level got to get back and you gotta. If I was him, I would try to sit down as soon as possible and just kind of reevaluate the whole year and look at film. But not right away. He needs probably some time away from it for a little bit. But then get in there and kind of grind on it and see what he could do to get better.
Is there a chance when you play quarterback, you get too much information? You got your head coach walks up to you and says, "Hey, man, make sure when you throw it, don't force it in there." And then your coordinator comes up and says, "Hey, man, I want you looking at this and that." And then your receivers are hitting you with.
No. If that's the case and you got 10 people talking to you before you walk on the field like that, yeah, there's no doubt. I don't know what's going on. Are you just saying that?
I'm just throwing it out because, sometimes I feel like he gets a lot of different messages from different people, and I just wonder, listen, the guy is not – he's a pretty quiet guy by nature.
Right.
I just wonder sometimes if
– sometimes you got to just tell people to get away from you.
Right. Shut up. Hey, this I'm the quarterback.
I don't know. If that's the case, then you got to have kind of one guy that he can rely on and talk to, I don't know what's going on there, though.
When you get to a point.
I could tell you that if you got 10 people telling you different things before you walk on the field, that's a problem. But I don't know if is that happening?
I don't think so. Okay. But I want to ask you about the second part of that is audibles. When you get to the point where you get a play and you hate the play, you're out there, you got a few seconds, When you get to a point where you go, I'm going to audible because I feel this has got a better chance in the play you just called, or you're like, well, I'm still a young guy, I better run what they want?
Well, I think it all depends on success level, Joe. I mean, if they were heading to the playoffs and he's throwing a lot more touchdowns and he has interceptions and all that, then there's leeway there. But if not, then everybody's grinding on it. We got to have the perfect play, and it's not always the perfect play. Sometimes you got to just make it work no matter what the play is, and then other times you try to get yourself in the best play possible. You know, all the situations are different. It's not as simple as, they send a play in, the time's running down, okay, we got to change it. You might not have the right personnel. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into that.
What's the most you ever audibled in a game, if you were guessing back? I'm guessing almost 100%.
Sometimes a lot. Yeah. But the audibling is, it's either a run, a pass, or it's, but just flat out changing the play, like at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Early in my career, we did that a lot at times if we were behind. I'd just go right to the line and do it.
But you had a green light, obviously, and you were successful that you could do it, and especially when it was working, nobody said a word.
And you could always rely on that you didn't get the signal. I didn't get it. I'm sorry. I just had to call play.
I didn't get it, and the clock was running out.
Yeah, clock's running out, man. I had to do something.
Yeah, no, I got you. Hey, Tom Brady is getting in that car. He's had two. I thought that year he had a couple years ago, but this year.
No, it's pretty special what we've seen this last, 36 touchdowns is a lot. It's not, it's not crazy over the top like the 50s, like him and Peyton has done. But, to me, that four interception thing is really hard to believe. I mean, because normally you just get unlucky and balls get tipped and whatever and they're going to get intercepted. But that's the whole key. They just don't turn the ball over, man, that team. They just don't do it. I mean, to go 335 attempts without an interception is pretty amazing.
You draw back. That's the last thing you're thinking when I watch him play. Danny, he's now had 2 years that, in my opinion, put him right there at the top. And I don't want to just forget about Peyton Manning just because he hasn't had as good a season as he's had in the past. And he's also in the playoffs, and he's also going to have a home game coming up. But.
Yep.
Man, I got to tell you something. We're going to start having conversations here in the next 3 or 4 years if these guys keep this up. I'm going to put them right there at the top in that exclusive club.
They're in a great situation, and both of them are in teams that have had quality teams. Where they can be playing at a high level because they got high level people around them. That's the first thing. You put Tom Brady on Arizona's team right now, he's not going to be. Throwing for 335 attempts, without interception. So you got to keep that, no matter what you do, keep that always in perspective. But at the same time, when you get those people around you, you got to perform at a high level too, and they are. And they're making people around them better too. But at the same time, they're in good situations.
So
they are.
Well, that's what I'm afraid
of. Don't you agree?
Belichick's
doing up there and replacing players and letting guys go and just still winning the way he's been winning. He's had something really special going in there for quite a while now.
Well, what happens.
So it does help when you're the quarterback of that team.
I agree, but what's going to happen because of things like you just said, and people, and they're good points, but now everybody's going to end up saying, well, a lot of Brady's success goes to Belichick, and then we end up taking.
No, I mean, Belichick, it's hand in hand now. It is, okay, because, if they won, and then they won with Matt Castle, too. They didn't win the division and didn't get in the playoffs, I think, that year, but. It does. They wouldn't be the same either without Brady now, too. So it goes hand in hand.
I know nobody's going to talk about it today, but it's like 4th and 2. Belichick goes for it. They get the first down. And then you know what he does? And they're up 4 touchdowns. Then you know what he does? He goes up top for a touchdown for 40-something yards in the end zone. He doesn't care. He doesn't care
that's,
anybody.
That's the play they call. Okay, now maybe that's the decision Tom Brady makes too. It could be the coverage, what it is, and the defense.
It was running. It was a backup in there.
Was it the backup?
Yeah, it was.
He's got
Hoyer, Moyer, Coyer, Doyer, whatever.
Hoyer.
Yeah, he he hoyered it into the end zone. Let me just tell you something. He doesn't care what
they put a beating on. And they do it. I mean, they were doing it a year. They almost went undefeated. They were doing the same thing.
I don't think Belichick cares about the coaching fraternity, does he? Since he's the president of it, he doesn't really care.
No. I mean, as a player, some of that would upset me. You know, so you throw a comeback and just overthrow it and try to hit him maybe or something if doing that things. But he, no, he's an incredible coach.
He, he goes, if you don't like it, do something about it because I'm going to continue to do it. He goes, I hate long field goals, man. Welcome back, 841 here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM, the day after. Tough 38-7 loss to the Patriots, and you see why they're the best team in football. They played that game like they needed it to get in the playoffs yesterday. I was shocked, Danny, by the effort that the New England Patriots put out yesterday. And they rest a couple of guys. Their starting wide receivers don't play. Their backup or one of their key tight ends, Aaron Hernandez, doesn't play. And they don't miss a beat, man. They go out and play it like they need that game to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And like you said, their backups played good. Or, I mean, everybody, you know. And that's the sign of a team that's preparing for the future, which is getting ready to go try to win a Super Bowl.
You think they're the team to beat? Would you?
Yeah. To be able to go into New England and beat them, yeah, for sure. Now teams can do it, but they're going to have to beat themselves, which they haven't done. You know, they're going to have to turn it over at home. Someone, you know, they got kind of all the aspects of what you need to have to win it all.
27 home wins in a row.
Yeah, pretty good.
God, I get tired of the numbers. I sound like I got a Tom Brady jersey on this morning the way I'm talking about everything they've been able to do. Hey, speaking of that, I want to go around. You buying the Jets, and how deep do the Jets go in these playoffs, Danny?
Well, they got to go on the road like they did a year ago, and they're going to
Indianapolis to play the Colts.
Yeah, I think that's going to be tough for them to win in Indy. They got the talent to be able to beat anybody at any time, but at the same time, at the end of the year, they just weren't playing as good. But I think they're going to have a tough road for them to go in to beat Indy and Indy. It'll be a close game. I mean, Tennessee almost beat them.
Yeah, no.
Yesterday. I mean, it'll be one of those down-to-the-wire games. But, you know, Peyton Manning at home is going to be tough to beat with, you know, how they perform at high level on offense, you know?
You know what the most bizarre story in the NFL was yesterday? And I should have got to this earlier.
What?
Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the best stories in football. They're 10-6 and win the West. He's leaving to go be the offensive coordinator for the Florida Gators.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Can you help me out on that one, please?
I wish I could, but I would tell you that there has to be a reason why he wants to do that. Maybe he wants to be a college head coach again. Maybe there's family reasons. Maybe he don't like where he's coaching. Maybe he don't like the people he's coaching with.
Well, that's
I mean, I think Todd Haley worked for him as a intern at one point, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's not very often I see a guy leave to be a coordinator. Matter of fact, this is the first time I've ever heard of a guy.
Yeah.
It's actually the second time.
It really helped. I mean, it's helped Kansas City having him in Rome.
Oh, no question. And Pioli at the top. That's been, there's no question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I can't give you an answer on that. But there's got to be a reason why he wants to do it. And it's his right, you know, as a guy that if you feel like you want to do it, do it.
Yeah, Monty Kiffin did it to be with his kid. Now that was just because he wanted to be back with his son, who's a head coach, Lane Kiffin. But
right.
this is pretty strange situation to see it, and a guy that's a little bit older that wants to get back, especially when you're not coaching, because part of that job at college, I don't care if you're out on the road or not, it's all about kissing a lot of teenage ass in recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, but there's so many rules now that, you know, you can't. It's not as much as it was.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not the Wild West like
Florida. You're going to be able to recruit regardless. You know, kids are going to go there because they want to go to play at Florida.
Nope. He obviously, he got offered a lot of money, too. There's no way. I'm guessing he took a huge cut in pay. The Florida Gators can pay it. And I'm guessing we're going to find out he got paid pretty good money to come in and run his pro set offense that he has for sure, Danny, I'm guessing. Hey, I want to ask you about Matt Ryan in Atlanta while we're on a roll here. And it seems to be about quarterbacks. They seem to be right now, would you say, the team to beat in the NFC?
They're going to be tough to beat, you know, going into their building. The Saints did it, right, 2 weeks ago, didn't they?
Yes, they did do it 2 weeks ago.
So
beat them up pretty good.
You could get to them there, but it's going to be a tough road because they're pretty darn balanced. And, you know, they have, you know, they're well coached. You could tell that. The guy doesn't get a lot of credit there. And, you know, when Matt Ryan does, you know, what he needs to do, he's good on third down. He's, you know, stands in there, makes throws. So they're going to be tough to beat.
Hey, Danny, I'm guessing your buddy Brett Favre. I'm guessing he's pretty glad this season's over, wouldn't you say? Everything he's been through, besides being injured.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what, it's kind of, I you know, for Brett's sake, I wish he would have been able to play, you know, in his last game, you know, no matter what the circumstance would have been. And you know, he played, what, 2 weeks ago, and give him a lot of credit for getting out there in that, you know,
that nasty weather and getting body slammed.
Nothing to play for. But at the same time, it would have been great to see him play yesterday. But then they got to look at Joe Webb in the future, so. I understand that, but he's had an incredible career. I mean, it's time for him to, you know, move on. He loved playing the game. You know that. I mean, give him credit for that.
Danny, you think that's the best
one of the best? He'll be one of the best all time to go down. One of the great players. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. No, he'll go down as he'll also be in that A-League of guys that are in the Hall of Fame. I agree with you. You think that was the best $50,000 he ever wrote to the NFL when he could write that and say, is this thing finally done now? Here's your 50.
Yeah, I mean, they dragged it on pretty long, but, you know, with I'm sure that they've went very, you know, in-depth in the whole situation to figure out what the best and what the situation was, so they can make good decisions. And, you know, the commissioner made a decision.
Did you she good looking girl, did you get to see pictures of her, little Miss Sturger?
You're bad.
Hey, we gotta take a quick break. I gotta get caught up. We're so far behind right now. I got the boss looking through the window screaming at me right now. Go to break, jerky!
Just do commercials. I'll just sit here.
All right, we'll be right back with you in just a second. Wrap things up. Talk with Dan Marino right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. 8:53 here on Sports Radio 560 WQM. Everybody trying to figure out what's going to happen in the National Football League. Leslie Frazier will stay in Minnesota. Tom Coughlin, he gets his 10th win. He'll stay with the Giants. Jason Garrett is expected to be named the full-time coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Gary Kubiak at Houston is expected to keep his job, but we'll bring in a strong and powerful defensive coordinator to help him on that side of the football. Tom Cable, Marvin Lewis, and Eric Mangini are expected to get fired. And Jeff Fisher, that's a weird one. Even talking about Jeff Fisher being fired with the success he's had, but it could come down to Vince Young or Jeff Fisher.
Well, I mean, to me, it would be, you know, Jeff Fisher has been an incredible football coach in this league, and they're hard to come by that can live, you know, win at that level for a long, extended period of time. So I personally would try to keep that guy if I could, and if he was available, that'd be someone that I would look at.
I don't know if we've ever had this. Somebody has to go, and the owner's sitting there going, well, I really like our first pick, Vince Young, and I want him to play. And Jeff Fisher says, and I'm not staying. You have to decide. One of us is going. What do you want to do?
Did he actually say that?
Well, that's kind of what everybody's insinuating.
Well, that's what the media is saying. But if that's the case, then, you know, Jeff Fisher, you know, is there with that team every day. He understands what the – you know, the circumstances would be with, you know, that particular player like Vince Young. So, he knows. I mean, I'm not saying that that's happened because I didn't hear that, but he publicly said that.
Right.
But,
No. I'm doing that media speculation. That stuff
do, you
that you hate that stuff.
You do that a lot. You know,
so, you hate that stuff.
I do.
Boomer loves it.
Oh, Boomer loves that. If it was up to him, he'd fire a coach every year. It doesn't matter. I mean, he just loves it. But I don't.
You know, another guy that's going to be real interesting, Danny, he's coaching tonight here for Stanford against Virginia Tech, is Jim Harbaugh, who's a hot name at both the college and the pro level.
Yeah, it's exciting for Jim, the way, you know, what he's done there, and his brother's a coach in the NFL, and I'm sure he's going to get his opportunities either in the NFL or back in college somewhere else, or stay at Stanford. Stanford's a great place. I mean, to win at, you know, kind of level he's winning at right now at Stanford is pretty darn good.
Yeah, and that kid, have you seen a kid at Stanford throw the ball? I don't know if you've seen this kid, Luck, boy.
I met him, you know, when they came to Heisman Trophy. When we had Cam Newton on our show a couple of weeks back when they presented it, they had all the kids were there, so. Met them all.
Well, Andrew Luck and Cam Newton are two sexy names, and a lot of NFL cities looking for quarterbacks right now, as you know, and everybody. He's a redshirt sophomore, so he's got 3 years, so he can come out. Andrew Luck can.
Okay, redshirt sophomore.
And you want to hear what I got 20 times yesterday, and Zach and I got into it last week, and it had to do with you.
Zach.
Yeah, okay. My Zach here on the show. Let me just tell you what happened here before we let you go, because I don't want
Zach might kick your butt, so don't. You know.
No, I know that, but he got going, and he did one of these make-believe world deals, and I said, listen, all those quarterbacks are going to be gone before we get to the 15th pick. And he goes, oh, yeah, just like Dan Marino was gone in the first 10 picks, you never know when a guy's going to slide down. Those days are done. I want everybody to know there's no more getting Dan Marinos with the 27th pick in the draft. They're gone. They've been gone for a long time.
Well, the only thing I would say, Joe, is that whole draft, I mean, there was, you know, some pretty special players in that first round. You know, so that's kind of why, I mean, Jim Kelly was late. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was 15 or 16 in that draft. So
right.
You know, Darryl Green, Hall of Famer, he was picked after me, you know, so.
We're talking about hitting on that quarterback thing.
A lot of first round drafts like that particular year, I mean, coming out.
Well, how do we, the whole thing is, people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on trying to find and leading up through the scouting and the recruiting, trying to find a quarterback, a franchise quarterback. Danny, we've had a lot of flops that have been top 10 picks at quarterback. Can you help? How do you find a guy?
That's the magic formula. That's it, man. How do you find it? I think you got to be in a position where, you know, first of all, you know, we were there a couple years ago. You could have had Matt Ryan, you know, but that's, you know, that's okay, gone. That's past. Sometimes it's, you know, you just can't, you know, pass on guys if you think they got a chance to be really special at that position and you're sitting in the top three or four picks. And you could miss because they just don't make them like they used to. I don't think so. But
you never know. Like, you look at a guy, he runs, he's got it. Oh, he's a sharp guy. Hey, he's put up big numbers in a big program in college and gets to the pros. And he just craps the bed. He just can't play. It's a bad system. There's not enough talent around him.
Yeah, you got to look at where he's coming from, who he's playing. You know, I mean, and you better do your homework and watch a lot of film on him and get the background and understand what kind of personality the kid has. And, you know, so, and look at the Steelers. They got Roethlisberger, what, the 11th, 12th pick, right?
Yeah, and he lived up to it. So right. Did the guy that was the first in your
pick. He got on a pretty darn good team that had some good coaches and, you know, all that part helps too, you know?
No, listen, I agree. You want to get on a team that you got a chance to win with. But the guy that was first in your draft ended up being pretty damn good too. Wasn't that Elway was first overall in that draft?
Right, yeah. Dickerson was there, yep.
Oh, God, that was a good one. Hey, Danny, we're out of time, my man.
Are we already?
That was a fast hour.
You playing tennis today?
Yes, I am.
Oh, man.
Danny, I got to sweat, man. I got to lose weight. We got teammates, and, of course, Eric Glatzo, our right tackle, passed away a few days ago. And I've had a lot of former guys asking me. Everybody's calling now going, hey,
what
man,
happened?
we got to work out. We got to stay in shape. Got to eat better and do more. You working out at all or no?
Yeah, I'm working out.
All right. What can you still do with those knees? Can you still, like, Will you walk, or what else can you do? You getting around okay?
I could make you miss, that's for sure.
All right. Hey, man, have a good day.
All right, man. See you.
I'll see you. That's Dan Marino, 859 here on Sports Radio 560.
Hey, by the way, Tony Eason and Ken O'Brien went before Dan Marino in that draft. Not to throw oil on the fire from last week.
I brought that up. You probably thought I forgot about it because I still make believe we're going to have any shot unless we're willing to give up a lot to get Andrew Luck or Cam Newton.
Oh, it's giving up a draft. It's giving up like a full draft.
It's the Ricky Williams special. It's the Saints Ricky Williams special, right?
We'll end up having one pick in the entire draft next year, and it'll be Andrew Luck or Cam Newton, and that's it. That'll happen. But I don't think the Dolphins are going to do that.
No, they got a lot of stuff they need. I don't know. It'd be very interesting when they have these talks on what's going to take place.